Praise God. Yes, the birth of Jesus, our Messiah, the way that he came as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to be born in a humble stable and in a manger, and just the whole way that he came. Just imagine, creator of heaven and earth, creator of the universe, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, eternal God, always in heaven, leaves his throne. Just the miraculous, whole, amazing story that Scripture records for us. That the Virgin, you know, the Holy Spirit comes upon the Virgin, puts baby Jesus in the womb, and just so on and so on. We're going to focus on that today. We're going to be looking, the title of my message really is The Glorious First and Second Coming of King Jesus. And I want you to keep in mind the word King. King Jesus, because from he's always been King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but even when he was born that day, he was King of Kings and is King of Kings. And everybody knew it. Even the scripture said, even the wise men came and asked, what? Where is he who was born King of the Jews? Not only was he King of the Jews, but he's King of everybody. He's King of the universe. And even from that time. And so the first coming of King Jesus, and then we're going to look at the glorious second coming, when King Jesus doesn't come as a cute, cuddly little baby to be born and grow up and mature as a man and then eventually die on the cross for our sins. But he will come back on a white horse. The picture that the Jews had of him, of their Messiah, who he would be, a great conquering king, he's coming back the second time as the King of Kings right there on that white horse. And guess what? We'll be with him. That's going to be awesome. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and praise you. And we just thank you for just the prophetic word. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the prophecies hundreds and hundreds of years before you were ever born by Isaiah. The ones we're going to look at today. There are many others. But we thank you for the prophecies, the prophetic word that tells us about your first coming as King and your second coming as King Jesus. And we want to study those today and just see how they were all fulfilled in the New Testament and how they still will be fulfilled. But how the main emphasis is that you would always be a King of Kings, and that you would sit on David's throne and you would rule a kingdom forever and ever. And it is a kingdom that cannot, will not, no way can ever be destroyed. It is your eternal kingdom. And that we're part of that kingdom. Hallelujah. So just praise God. Bless this word as we get into the word of God now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, as I said, the prophetic passages in the Bible that the Holy Spirit, remember the Holy Spirit is the one who gave us the Word of God. He's the one who gave the Word of God to be recorded to all those who wrote the Bible for us. But the prophetic passages in the Bible that the Holy Spirit gave to us about the first and second coming of King Jesus, who is also our Lord and Savior, are some of the most awesome verses in Scripture. For they declare, why are they so awesome? Because like the first song that we sang, there is no God like our God. There is no other God like our God. Especially in the area where he will, in prophecy, where he gives prophetic words through prophets. He tells exactly what's going to happen in the future. And then he makes it happen exactly the way that he prophesied that it would happen. There is no other God that does that. That can do that, like our God. Isaiah made that statement. If you read Isaiah 41, he makes that statement. He's talking about the dead idols that Israel had began to follow. He actually challenges them. He says, look, go get your idols to tell you what's going to happen in the future, and then get them to make it happen. They can't do it because they're false gods. Only our God can do that. Prophecies are fulfilled with such pinpoint accuracy that they prove that our God is the one true God and there is no other God like him who can tell us exactly what will happen in the future and then make it happen exactly as it was prophesied. The grass withers, flowers fade, but the word of God, especially the prophetic word of God, stands forever. It will always be fulfilled. It will not be changed. So since it's Christmas and all the wonderful songs that we're singing about the birth of Jesus, we're going to obviously start with the first coming of Jesus. The prophetic words that reveal the plan of the incarnation, designed by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to redeem us and save us from the penalty, power, and eventually, hallelujah, from the presence of sin, and set us free from Satan's tyranny by coming to earth through the virgin birth as God in the flesh to be God with us are truly amazing and miraculous. Just think that one holy night, God himself would leave his throne in heaven, take on flesh to become man, to die on the cross, to be a sacrifice for our sins in order to reconcile us to God and bring us into his eternal kingdom because he is our king. He is the King of Kings. God loves us so much. He gave us and gives us the prophetic word of God so we can know the truth about the first and the second coming of King Jesus and receive his indescribable gift. His Son, Jesus Christ, our King, Savior, and Lord. So when I talk about prophetic words, to talk about the first coming of Jesus, I always have to start with the first prophecy that was ever given about Jesus, which is in Genesis 3:15. It says, we know this happened after the fall, after the devil tricked Adam and Eve to sin against God, and they were kicked out. Genesis 3:15 says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. We know that's all talking about what happened at the cross. But this is amazing because this is Father God, Father Elohim himself, giving a prophetic word about the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. In this verse, God simply is telling Satan, the devil, one moment in time, my son, the man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, will come forth and crush your head. You may bruise his heel on the cross, but when he comes back in resurrection power, he will crush your head. He will strip you of all your power over the children of men because they are my prize possession and my prize creation, and I'm going to purchase them back with my son. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. Now the prophet Isaiah gives us more detailed prophecy about how the God-man, the man Jesus, who is God in the flesh himself, would come into this world as Emmanuel, God with us forever, to be God with us forever. And if God be with us and for us, who can be against us? Amen. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. That was Isaiah 7:14. And if you look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 to 23, we see the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. Remember, this is the angel speaking to Joseph. Matthew 1, verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus means God's salvation. That's literally what his name means. He shall save his people from his sins. Listen to what the angel tells him. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah 7:14, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Isn't that amazing? Isaiah prophesies it. The angel comes and tells Joseph, we know the story, because Joseph was about to divorce her because it was a shame to him. She's pregnant? What do you mean by the one I'm betrothed to is pregnant? But the angel tells him this. This is the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. It's amazing. Then we know the song that we just sang, Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, listen. Always talking about the kingship of Jesus Christ. This will establish him as the king sitting on David's throne and ruling his kingdom. He will rule with goodness and justice forever and ever. The strong love or the zeal of the Lord, all powerful, that he has for his people will make this happen. Nothing's going to stop it. Now listen to what the angel tells Mary. The angel literally declares to Mary that this message of hope that was prophesied in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 would be fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God." Now listen to this. What did it say at the end of Isaiah 7? The Lord all-powerful, God Almighty, the zeal of the Lord will make this happen. Will make what happen? Will make him the King of Kings who will sit on David's throne forever and ever. Listen to what the angel tells her. The Lord God will make him king as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. Isn't that awesome? Just the whole, I mean, to see the flow of it through the Old Testament and then the fulfillment, the angels speaking forth the prophetic words from the prophets to Joseph and Mary. It's awesome. Jesus came to deliver all of us from the slavery of sin. He is our Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And his power is always multiplying and increasing. It's continuing to grow. And there will be someday peace without end. Amen? Right now we have peace with God. We don't see peace on earth everywhere. Actually, we see wars and rumors of wars probably like never before. But we have peace with God. And eventually, when Jesus Christ comes back the second time as King of Kings, the second coming of King Jesus, he will establish peace on earth because he is the Prince of Peace. This will establish him as his king sitting on David's throne and ruling his kingdom. He will rule with goodness and justice forever and ever. And the strong love that the Lord all-powerful has for his people will make this happen. Then we go to the birth of Jesus in Luke 2, verses 7 through 14. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Hallelujah. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Praise God. Now let's move to prophecies about the second coming of King Jesus. The second coming of King Jesus is one of the most awesome events in the prophetic program. And is easily the most exciting event given to us in Bible prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled. In both the Old Testament and New Testament, the second coming of Christ is set forth in hundreds of amazing passages. This important doctrine that Scripture reveals to us is far more than a simple ending of human history. It's rather the grand climax which brings the program of God to its highest level. You know how we're always talking about, let's go to the next level? Well, it's not going to get any higher than this level right here. This is the ultimate level that he's going to take us to. What incredible hope these prophetic words give to us, because we can know for sure, we know for sure that God fulfilled the incredible prophecies about the first coming of Jesus, filled them to the exact detail, where he would be born, how he would be born, when he would be born, why he would be born. So because of that, these words about the second coming of King Jesus give us incredible, incredible hope. Because we know that these prophetic words concerning his second coming of his son Jesus will be fulfilled with 100% accuracy too, just as they were fulfilled at his first coming. The second coming of King Jesus. Now, everybody knows this, but I'm just going to share it real quick. The second coming of Jesus is not the rapture of the church. There are two different events. The rapture of the church is the end of the church age. The church is raptured out of here. Then there's the tribulation, and then after the tribulation time and the marriage feast of the Lamb, when we're spending time with Jesus, at a certain point at the end of the great tribulation, that's when Jesus comes back on the white horse to end the devil, beast, false prophet, all the military forces. He's already, through the tribulation, he's already dealt with the entire world order. The whole economic system, the whole world system is gone. It's just trashed. It's collapsed. It's been judged. But he still has to come back and deal with the devil and the military forces that are coming against the people of God, especially against Israel. This is mainly concerning Israel. Why? Because what did the prophetic passages tell us? God the Father will make him come back and sit on the throne of who? The throne of David. Where's the throne of David? In Israel, in Jerusalem. So that really he's already blessed the whole earth. He's already saved the Gentiles. The last Gentile has come in. We've been raptured. Tribulations happened. But Israel, the Jewish people, have just gone through the worst tribulation. I mean, they've gone through so much, but what will happen to them during the tribulation period makes everything else that's probably happened to them look like nothing. What will happen? They will be being attacked by their enemies, and their King Jesus and his armies, the angels and the saints of God, will come back to rescue Israel, wipe out all their enemies and all the enemies of God, basically, and then he will establish his millennial kingdom. We get to be part of that. That is so amazing. Anyhow, let's look at one vision. In one of his visions about the second coming of King Jesus, in one of his visions, Daniel tells us about the second coming. It's Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. Gives us a clear description of the second coming of King Jesus, and is one of my favorites from the Old Testament. Daniel says in Daniel 7, verse 13, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. What does that sound like? Sounds like to me after the ascension of King Jesus, after his death, burial, resurrection. He's taken before the throne of God. God coronates him as King of Kings, gives him all power. What did Jesus say? Behold, all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Remember, after the resurrection, that's what he told the disciples. All power. So here, I believe Daniel is actually seeing what happened after Jesus ascended back to heaven. They brought him near before him. Or this could actually be right before he receives the seals. Remember when Jesus starts opening the seals, John says he sees them. He sees them. They're crying out, who can open the seals? There's no one worthy to open the seals. This might be that point too. It could be either one. It says they brought him before the Ancient of Days, talking about Father God. Then it was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. The point I want you to, the one verse that I want to show you that is fulfilled in the New Testament by Jesus himself speaking these words, is that when Daniel said, "Behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven." So turn now. Well, hold on for a minute. Well, you can turn to Revelation chapter 1 if you want. Revelation chapter 1. But there are plenty of New Testament passages that teach us about the second coming of King Jesus. But for the sake of time, since there's probably about 300 of them, I don't think we'll try to get through all of those today. We're just going to look at one or two in chapter 19, which describes in great detail the second coming of King Jesus to conquer his enemies, establish his kingdom. As a fulfillment of the passage that we just read from Daniel chapter 7. So turn with me to Revelation 1, and we're going to start in verses 4 through 8. Remember what Daniel said he saw Jesus coming in the clouds of heaven. Revelation 1, verses 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, listen to this, the firstborn from the dead, and what? The ruler over the kings of the earth. I love that. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hallelujah. There's the first coming of King Jesus. And then did what? Made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Listen to this. Behold, he is coming. How? With the clouds, in the clouds, and every eye shall see him. That's exactly what Daniel said he saw in his vision. Even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. John is announcing the return of King Jesus to earth. Jesus' second coming will be visible and victorious. All people everywhere will see him arrive this time. No secret little, birth in a manger. Everyone, not just the shepherds, everyone will see him come as king this time on his white horse. All people will see him arrive, and they will know it's Jesus when he comes to deliver his people, Israel, especially. He will conquer evil, and he will judge all people according to their deeds. For the Father has given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages will serve him. They will bow down one way or another before him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And praise God, his kingdom is an eternal kingdom which shall never be destroyed or changed again. Let's read about Jesus returning, King Jesus returning. Of course, I'm going to Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16, which these verses, again, place us at the close of the tribulation, immediately prior to the glorious second coming and reign of our Lord and Savior, King Jesus. John says in verse 11, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. It's time. No more dealing with sin. No more paying the price for sin. He's not coming back to deal with sin like it says in Hebrews 9:27. This time he's coming back for what? In righteousness to judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire and his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. The one who became flesh and dwelt among us. Who brought life and light to men. And the light overcame the darkness, and the darkness could never put it out. Amen. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. He's talking about us. So he's talking about us. We get to follow him. We get to be part of this. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name that's written. What is it? King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Praise God. The first, glorious first in coming, second coming of King Jesus. With tiny wrinkles and cries, he entered the world, wrapped in strips of cloth, took his first nap on a bed of straw. Subject to time and to parents, he grew in manhood in Roman-occupied Israel. His gentle hands becoming strong and calloused in Joseph's woodworking shop. As a man, he walked through the countryside and city, touching individuals, preaching to crowds, and training 12 men to carry on his work. At every step, he was hounded by those seeking to rid the world of his influence. Finally, falsely accused and tried, he was condemned to a disgraceful execution by foreign hands. And he died, spat upon, cursed, pierced by nails, and hung heavenward on a cross for all to scorn and mock him. Jesus, the God-man, gave his life completely so that we all might live. But soon, and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon the church age will end. The church will be raptured out. We'll meet Jesus in the air. And then once again, after the great wedding feast and the time that we spend with the Lord, at God's appointed time, it's always his appointed time, our risen and ascended Lord Jesus will burst onto the world scene with us, with the saints and the armies of heaven following him. Everyone will know that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the King of the universe and the Lord of the universe. Those who love him and have accepted him during the tribulation will rejoice, greeting their Savior, their Messiah, with hearts. Israel will greet him with hearts overflowing with songs of praise. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Well ransom and deliver you, O Israel. Amen? That's when that will be filled. That song will be fulfilled during that time. Believe me, they will be singing and rejoicing that their Messiah has returned and King has returned to save them. But his enemies, all those who have opposed him, will be filled with fear. Allied with Satan, the enemies of Christ will marshal their legions against Christ and his armies. But no one can withstand him who pours out God's wrath, our King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus Christ, our King, will win the battle and he will reign victorious. Just as it said in Revelation chapter 1, he will reign victorious and everyone will know that he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is King of kings and Lord of lords forever. Jesus, our humble, suffering servant, the sweet little baby that was the Lamb of God, came as our king during that time, and he's coming as King of Kings, as the powerful Lion of Judah and the conquering King and Judge. And oh, what a glorious, glorious day that will be. Amen? We get to come with him. So what are we supposed to do until he takes the church out of here? Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Never give up. Always keep sowing and reaping, knowing what? That in due time, we're going to reap an incredible harvest. He has incredible rewards for us. It says, Revelation 22, he ends with, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me." So go tell it on the mountains, over the hills, and everywhere that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has been born. Tell everyone that he is not only King of Kings, but he's also Judge of the living and the dead, and that every person will stand before him to give an account of how they lived their lives. Yes, he came, laid down his glory, born that man no more may die. He brought peace on earth, mercy mild. Through faith in Jesus Christ, God and sinners can be reconciled. Let everyone know that if they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, confess that he is Lord, and believe in their hearts that God raised him from the dead, that they will be saved. Why? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved from the judgment and wrath of Almighty God. No one can do it for us but Jesus. No one can do it for our family and friends but Jesus. Let us go forth to the mountains, the hills, to our homes, to our communities, everywhere in our sphere of influence. Share the prophetic words of God about his, it's amazing. Share with people how he fulfilled those prophecies at his first coming, what he did for them on the cross, through his death, burial, and resurrection. And definitely share with them the prophetic words about his second coming. There's power there when we testify about him. Amen. Lord, we love you and praise you. And we thank you. And Mary put it on the bulletin here. Great way to express it in Titus 2. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. His name is King Jesus, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking forward, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, King Jesus. We love you, Lord. We ask you that you would continue to just fill us with the Spirit, anoint us with the gospel so we can preach the gospel, so we can minister to everyone in our sphere of influence. Use the gospel, use signs and wonders and miracles to give us opportunities to bring people into your kingdom. Lord Jesus, we want to see many, many people come to you. We pray for all of our unsaved family members that they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. We pray for those in this nation that don't know you, that they would come to know you, that they would be awakened by the gospel and the Holy Spirit, because you're still pouring out your Spirit upon all flesh. You're not willing that any perish, but that all repent and come to the saving knowledge of you, King Jesus. Let many, many, many be saved here in America and throughout the earth. And Lord, we want to be part of it. Before you take the end of the church age, we want to be part of bringing that last Gentile in, or Jew, to see a great, great harvest for you. Lord, we long to be able to, if time permits, to bring them in, baptize them, see them filled with the Holy Spirit, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and equip and train them to do the work of the ministry. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you so much for this glorious hope of the rapture. going to spend eternity with you, being at the wedding feast of the Lamb. How amazing. And then to be able to come back with you on white horses when you come back the second time, King Jesus. That's amazing. It is amazing. And we just thank you that you, by your grace, have saved us and allowed us to be part of that. We thank you that your word shows us what our future is, and we know without a doubt, 100%, that the will, that the love for that you have for us, and the zeal and the power that Father God has, will make it happen, and no one can stop it or change what is written. That's our hope. What a glorious hope. Thank you for such an amazing inheritance. Thank you for such an indescribable gift. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for being with us and all that you've given us. We can't thank you enough. Let our songs of praise that we're going to sing now and worship that we're going to sing now be filled with passion and love and power for you as we come into your presence. Let your presence be stronger in this place than it's ever been before, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.